All right. Good evening. We are here for this. We're going to do a study on horizontal grace. I'm going to entitle it Horizontal Grace. I always try to come up with these unique titles that kind of capture our imagination or whet our appetite. So if you can open your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 2, please. Ephesians chapter 2, as we seek to explore horizontal grace. Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to read a very common verse of scripture. It's got to be one of the most read in the Christian world, in Christendom. And you'll see why when we read it. I know you probably, most of you know it by heart. Chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Notice verse 9, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Okay? Now, why did I choose this tonight? Because I wanted it to be kind of like an addendum to this Sunday morning's, to this morning's message on debt collecting. And so we're going to kind of pursue something along the same lines with a little bit. I like to switch it up a little bit. You know, we always talk about the Word of God being like a diamond ring that glistens when the light hits it. And, you know, that if diamonds glistened all the same way, ladies wouldn't be so turned on about the diamond ring. Amen? But They brilliantly glisten. Sometimes when Cindy and I are out in the sun and she doesn't notice it, but I notice the sun hitting the diamonds, and it just glistens so beautifully. How many of y'all know that the Word of God is like that? You know, we can share along the same subject, but the Word will provide different nuances and different shades of meaning. So we're going to look at that tonight. Notice what it says here in this verse of Scripture. Very, very clear. What is the source of our salvation? Verse 8. By what are we saved? Grace. By grace are we saved. What is the means of our salvation? What do I mean by the means? What? How did I cash in on my salvation? The source is grace. By grace you are saved through what means? Faith. Faith. You're right. Jesus Christ. Right? Through faith. Faith is the means that plugged my outlet or my connecting cable into God's saving power. Right? By grace, the source. Through faith, the means. Notice verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. So if you could sum up these three verses in just three phrases, it would be by grace, through faith, for good works. What is the intent of our salvation? That's number three. For, why did God save us? For good works. Now, we get into trouble when we start mixing up number three with number one. We are not saved by good works, are we? We are not saved to attain grace, are we? We sometimes get them all mixed up in our minds. We say, for by works are we saved through faith for grace. No. By grace are we saved through the means of faith unto the purpose of good works. Okay, that's what we were saved, very simply. Now, let's talk about grace a little bit. How many of y'all are thankful for God's grace in our lives? It is by His grace that I'm saved. Go with me. Hold your finger here in Ephesians 2. Go with me to Romans chapter 5, please. So we're saved by grace. I'm going to read verses 1 and 2 of Romans 5. Therefore, having been justified or declared not guilty by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. So notice, we are saved by grace and we stand by what? Stand by grace. Amen? We are saved by grace. We stand by grace. It is very important. Grace is the source of our spiritual life in our relationship with God. Can I get a hearty amen? Right? Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 before we go back to Ephesians 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, please. Paul summed it up like this. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. But by the grace of God, let's all read the other part together. I am what I am. So what's Paul saying? Every good thing in me, I have to give credit to what in my life? To the grace of God, right? I am what I am by the grace of God is what Paul is saying, because we are saved by grace. We stand by grace. So we can conclude that we are who we are by the grace of God. Right? Now, this is what we call vertical grace. Vertical grace. God looking upon us with favor. Isn't that what grace is? Favor? Undeserved, unmerited, everlasting favor from God to us. It is undeserved. Could we ever deserve God's grace? No. Could we ever earn God's grace? No. It is a gift from God. Isn't that what Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8 said? It is the gift of God. Grace is the gift of God. So we have this amazing gift of grace that came to us in the person of Jesus Christ. Go with me to John chapter 1. Is it okay if we just turn to all these verses of Scripture? I mean, this is a kind of like a... We are a church of the Word of God, aren't we? So we're not ashamed to look at the Word. John chapter 1, please. John chapter 1, let's read verse 17. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Grace and truth came through whom? Jesus Christ. Notice, it makes a distinction there. The law was given, grace came through Jesus Christ. What's the difference? Let me give you an example. How many of y'all have ever seen videos of a serviceman or a servicewoman out in the field, across the pond in the Middle East or wherever they're stationed, and they send the video to the family. The family plays it. The family's in tears. Oh, this is great. That video was given. How many of y'all, however, have seen that a video of one of the service people coming to the house, the mom not knowing it, the siblings are in on the surprise, and they hide the son. The mom comes out, and then the son surprises her, and she's like, oh my gosh! In the second example, he came. The video was given in the first example. He came. Moses gave the law, but grace came in the person of Jesus Christ. Isn't that good? Now, if you want to see what grace looks like, just look at the life of Jesus. Okay? Let's read again here in John 1. Are we still in John 1? Okay. It says here, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Verse 14. There it is. And the Word became flesh. Who was the Word that became flesh? Jesus. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of what? Grace and full of truth. So Jesus was full of grace, wasn't He? He was grace incarnate. All right? Let me make another statement to you. In grace, we don't get the bad that we deserve. We get the good that God wants us to have that we don't deserve. Amen? We asked this morning, in and of ourselves, who was worthy of salvation? None of us. But in spite of our unworthiness, he saved us, didn't he? He saved us. So Jesus is full of grace and truth. He came, grace came through Jesus in person. All right, now, so because I believe in grace, because I'm saved by grace, I stand by grace, I can say with Paul, I am what I am because of the grace of God. And you too can say with Paul, I am what I am because of his grace. Amen. I mean, all the good that we have in our lives, all the blessing, the person we are becoming more and more like Christ, we can say it is by one thing and one thing alone. It is by the grace of God. Okay, let's think of the cross. We're talking about vertical grace. We can't talk about horizontal grace until we have a good understanding of vertical grace. Listen, the cross is the perfect example of vertical grace. It was Jesus suspended between heaven and earth. Right? Jesus was suspended between heaven and earth. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 5 says there is only one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. So the cross symbolizes vertical grace. It began with God, right? And came down to us through Jesus Christ. When you think of that vertical beam of the cross, just think of that one vertical beam. That signifies God's grace to us. Okay, now let's talk about, because didn't Jesus say, if I be lifted up, he's talking about the crucifixion, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. But now let's look at the horizontal beam of the cross. When Jesus hung suspended between heaven and earth, who was crucified beside him? Two thieves. You know, I remember one time in the previous church, we were planning a drama. We used to make these dramas during Easter. And we were going to have two thieves beside Jesus. And somebody said, well, there's the good thief. Who should we cast as the good thief? And who should we cast as the bad thief? And I said, what? How can you say a good thief? Well, the good thief gave his life to Jesus. The bad thief didn't. The good thief didn't mock Jesus. I said, what? So I said, open your Bible. Do you know me, ever the teacher? And I want you guys to turn with me to Mark chapter 16, please. Or 15, rather. Mark 15. Because the Bible doesn't talk about a good thief and a bad thief. They were both bad thieves. Verse 29, Mark 15, and those who passed by blasphemed Jesus, wagging their heads and saying, aha, you who destroyed the temple and built it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross. Likewise, the chief priests also, together with the scribes, mocked and said among themselves, he saved others, himself he cannot save. Verse 32, let the Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe. And those who were crucified with him did what? They heaped insults, they reviled him. Did it say just one of them did that? Didn't both of them, those plural who were crucified with him, plural, or singular Jesus, but plural thieves? So both of them were mocking Jesus, right? Both of them were insulting Jesus. Yet something happened in a 3-hour span while Jesus hung on the cross. It was 6 hours one Friday. Okay, and I remember that because of Max Lucado's book, 6 Hours One Friday. So he hung there, and something happened to one thief. He had a change of heart. To where when one continued to heap insults on Jesus, the one thief said, leave him alone. He's done nothing wrong. We deserve our punishment. And then he turns towards Jesus, and he says, Lord, when you enter your kingdom, two-word request. Do we have to go through the sinner's prayer? All the sinner's prayer? Just two words. Remember me. Remember me. And what did Jesus say? He said, no, you're going to hell. You wasted your life. What did he say? today, assuredly I tell you, you will be with me in paradise. That is called horizontal grace. Right? Vertical grace is the grace we receive from the Father. God gives us grace. We receive grace. Horizontal grace is we take the grace that we have received and we extend it horizontally to others. Right? Okay, who believes with me that we as Christians are more developed in vertical grace than we are in horizontal grace? Who doesn't like receiving grace, vertical grace from the Father? I do. I love it. I depend on that grace to be there when I die. Right? Didn't Paul the Apostle say, "For I am persuaded that all that I have committed, that he will keep, he is faithful enough to keep that which I've committed to him against that day." That is my declaration as well. Isn't that your declaration? Aren't you persuaded even though you sin, you still miss the mark? Come on, somebody. You know, we're not sinless. God does not call us to be sinless, but he calls us to sin less. Make sense? And we can say with Paul, "I am persuaded that he will keep that which I have entrusted or committed to him against that day." The day what? Day of judgment. Right? That's vertical grace. Now let's talk about horizontal grace. Who's ever heard the words "extend grace" before? Like, we need to extend that person some grace. I have. If you've been a Christian for long enough, you've heard those words in some capacity or the other. How many of y'all know that there are people we just need to extend grace to? We're not going to change them. To continue to harp on them borders on being harassing others. Right? The more I fear sometimes the more we talk about something to one person. And what I mean by that is harassing them and, you know, hammering and hammering and hammering. We're just pushing them away. What am I saying? You know, we've got to be aware of horizontal grace and extend grace to others. Now, that's the hard part. That is the hard part because of some of the reasons. I just tapped into one of the reasons. How many of y'all like to control or think we're in control? I know if I tell them for the 1,000th time, it'll finally get through that thick head. No. Right? Horizontal grace. So let me leave you with this thought. Paul the Apostle said in 1 Corinthians 15, and we didn't even get back to Ephesians 2. We'll get back to it next week. But he said, "I am what I am by the grace of God." So church family, if that reasoning is true, and it is true because it's in the scripture, then I want to pose a thought to you. Could it be that this is also true? Because I am what I am by the grace of God. I let another person be what they are by that same grace. I.e., that is, I don't try to change them. I don't try to mold them. I don't try to cram it down their throats. I don't try to judge them. I try not to prejudge them. Then we should let others be who they are by that same grace. Go with me to Romans 14. I was going to leave you with that thought. Let me just talk about one example. Chapter 14 of Romans, verse 1. Receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. Did you see that? Someone who is weak in the faith. Listen, this is what Paul mentions as weak in the faith. The least little thing offends him. You know what I found? That we believers who are not grounded in God's grace, every little thing offends us. You see Pastor Joe, he was on Facebook playing some kind of secular music video and he was singing to it. Are we like that? Does the least little thing that we see in another believer that we disagree with, do we feel compelled to get their act straight or to tell them how displeased we are at their actions or behaviors? Or do we let them be by God's grace who they are, and we take the situation up with the Father in prayer? Amen to that. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you, God, for being so good to us, for loving us enough to give us your truth. Help us to begin to understand the depths of horizontal grace, Lord. Help us to see what is right. Help us to know and have wisdom on how to act this way. We thank you for this in Jesus' most holy name. Amen.